quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. And this episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Kutsi, Kwikwetlem, and Stalo First Nations. And Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship, as we would not be able to make this program without their caretaking of these lands and their leadership and guidance in creating really anything considered creative on these lands. My name is Leslie. Today is going to be an interesting episode, mostly because it's one of those where, like, I will have actually multiple topics of discussion. One of them is a special announcement on a project that I've got coming up for Typically Tuesdays. And it would be very good if you stick to the end of the program to hear all about it. And the first topic of discussion is actually one that I've been meaning to cover for several months already, actually. I even prepared the playlist for this episode months ago, but just in lieu of other things, haven't had the chance to do this episode. But here we go. It's going to be about sapphic period dramas as a certified lesbian. You want to know my opinion, I'm sure. So get ready today. For the playlist, this is, again, it's like 3 months old. So there's not a whole lot of, like, super fresh, super, super duper new music here. But it's all by sapphics, I think. The most, if not all of them, are by people who are not cis men who love women. And also, if you listen closely to the trajectory of the playlist, you're gonna feel some things, mostly sad things, because I've accidentally structured it so that it's actually quite a heartbreaking playlist. But we'll get through it. We'll get through it. It'll be fine. It'll be fun. It'll be good as well, I think. Plenty of CanCon on this playlist. We've got genres from a little bit of everything. We got a little bit of funk. We've got some indie rock coming up soon. We've got some sad R&B. Here's the first track from noted boy genius. This is one of my favorite songs from Lucy Dacus. It's called Kissing Lessons. Ooh. enjoy on this sapphic period dramas special of Typically Tuesdays here at 90.1 FM. Rachel was a year older when I was in the second grade. I thought she might know everything. I took a word like a golden ring. I asked her how to win Lockman, and she said, I know just the by the name of a
She took my spot in the bed, the space in your head that I used to. Something about her changes my mood, the sweetest perfume, she's too good for you.
Get your high bar. She's a Denny girl and I love it. She's a Denny girl This is Bird Note. This young northern flicker is calling from the ground. Sound like trouble? Well, just because a young bird is on the ground doesn't necessarily mean it's sick or injured. At this time of year, juvenile northern flickers are leaving their nests. They fledge when they're 3 or 4 weeks old and almost as big as their parents, 11 or 12 inches long. Although you may picture a woodpecker high on a tree trunk, northern flickers, young and old, actually forage mostly on the ground. So this young flicker, just out of its nest, is poking around in the dirt and leaf litter, looking for ants and other insects. It makes test flights and, day by day, reaches higher and higher into the trees. But you'll still see it regularly, beak down in your lawn, probing for food. The best thing you can do for the young flicker, and other fledgling birds too, is to give the bird some space. And especially, keep your cats indoors. Next spring, this bird will probably be drumming on your roof, advertising for a mate. To learn what to do if you do find a sick or injured bird, visit our website, birdnote.org. We'll help you find your local wildlife rehabilitator. I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note's newsletter delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox. Sign up at birdnote.org. to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
You just heard Hot Pockets by Callie Sway. Before that, you heard I Think I Like Your Girlfriend by Nia Naturata here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. Yeah, the first part of this playlist today is like really physical. You know, it's all about making out. It's all about making out as a sapphic. But trust me, strap in, because the playlist is going to take a turn very soon, and it is going to be sad, so have fun. Yeah, talking about sapphic period films today on the program. So here's what it is, right? Like, I don't love watching movies. Like, you really have to convince me to watch a movie. And I have wasted time watching movies before. One of my favorite movies, however, is The Handmaiden. It is such a favorite of mine that it even appears on my Letterboxd as my one of my top four, okay? I am not kidding around when it comes to 2017's The Handmaiden, directed by Park Chan-wook. It is one of the best, and it also kind of is a sapphic period drama. And you know, like, I think like the past few years I've started to watch more movies, and a few months ago I ended up watching A World to Come and also Ammonite. These two are also sapphic period dramas, and they are also the inspiration of today's episode, which is mostly a rant about sapphic period dramas, because I hated those movies so much. I really disliked them. If you're not familiar with what a sapphic period drama is, it's kind of in the name, but if you're still not convinced that it's about women who fall in love with women during a period of history and there is drama, I encourage you to watch this one SNL sketch. I don't exactly know what it's called, but if you look up SNL lesbian period drama, watch it, and congratulations, you've watched pretty much every single sapphic period drama of the North Americas and of Western Europe ever to be created. It's fun. It's an easy watch. You know, it covers everything, such as longing gazes, women wearing their hair in buns, so much hands, being by the ocean side, white people, And also, how to say this in a radio-friendly way, depictions of intimacy so hardcore that they appear to essentially almost be softcore pornography. So yeah, that's kind of the summary of a lot of these movies. And I wish I could say something nice about them, something additional that's nice about them. The one thing that I will say, which is going to be the focus of today's episode, is that I've noticed that a lot of these movies like to be avenues in which people explore ideas about the social and economic oppression of women, and also the sexual oppression of women. The sexual oppression of women mostly being about desire, right? And being sexually repressed. And I think these are important things to explore in art. And because of how complicated they are and big brain they are, like, yeah, like, it is a feat to try to discuss them. And whether you like it or not, these issues continue to be seen in the lives of women in the year of our supposed 2024, even in the most privileged people. Like, you can see echoes of that if you're not seeing the oppression plain on paper, right? My issue is that a lot of sapphic period pieces, in my opinion, okay? Let me get in on this. In my opinion, I think they do it really boringly and really cliche and unimaginative, and it sucks. It sucks, and it feels like I've wasted 2.5 hours of my day watching these movies that are telling me nothing that I already don't know, and possibly also portraying women really poorly. We're going to talk about that today on the program. Strap in, stay tuned. Here is some music. Then this is, oh yeah, we're going into the sad hour. This is Must Have Been a Fool by Pentayo. Father of My Children by Black Belt Eagle Scout here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. Didn't I tell you that this playlist was going to take a turn? This is a playlist about sapphic love songs. If, you know, it started out with like, ooh, kissy, flirty, making out with my girlfriend and or the person I've developed a crush on who is possibly a friend. And now it's gotten sad. More of that to come, and it's gonna take an even harder turn, I think, later on this playlist. So stay tuned for that. And also stay tuned, actually, because I do have like an exciting, important announcement to make about Typically Tuesdays. It's a project that I've got coming up very soon. And it would be great. It would be totally great. Like, thank you so much if you could stick around to hear about that as well, because I could really use your help in making it happen. So please stay tuned. That being said, okay, these sapphic period dramas, right? I'm going to spoil the movies. I'm going to spoil Ammonite. I'm going to spoil A World to Come. And I'm going to spoil The Handmaiden. Strap in, because here we go. I did not like A World to Come. And here's the thing, okay, like many of these movies, intentionally or not, they're saying something about gender. They're saying something about being a woman during these like kind of like Victorian periods of time. To take a deep breath so that I can get into it. A World to Come is not a movie that I would recommend to people. And this is the reason why. So it depicts a romance between, I guess, like two neighbors, I guess, whose husbands are either like constantly away doing work or being general menaces to society. And these women, they basically fall in love with each other. And at the end, one of the women is killed by her husband, or implied to be, I guess, but it's very strongly hinted. The movie wants to talk about people, women, and how they are unable to pursue certain things. The excitement of the world to come is that, you know, when these two people were in this affirming and gentle relationship with each other, anything felt possible because it was kind of like away from the rest of the world, the patriarchal world. And of course, that is snatched away when the patriarchy comes in, right? I've heard this story before, because I'm a woman in society. This movie is a barrier gaze movie, and it's not as though I think that like barrier gaze is like a trope that we should never touch ever or something like that. Like,